doing? Isn't that great how God just can change our lives, our hearts, everything about us? Amen. You know, before some of us got saved, we were just not very nice. Some of us just not very nice at all. Amen. And God's done a lot. Praise the Lord. We read last week, and I'm not going to go back, but we read about how in that sixth trumpet, how when great judgment came and God judged so severely and pain came on the earth, that how the people didn't repent. You know, you can't punish somebody into repentance. If prison worked, there wouldn't be so many people in there. And there sure wouldn't be so many going back. That's right. Punishment doesn't work. At really changing, especially when you get to a certain place, to change behavior. My mom and dad, it worked pretty good for them. They knew how to apply it, I guess. And they did it with great love as a thing. I learned as I got older, it wasn't a punishment. I didn't want to disappoint the people I loved. And that's what you learn with God. It's not punishment. You can't live for God out of fear that He's going to punish you. You live for God because you love Him and you respect Him. Amen. And I appreciate Him today. And so, yes, young people, kids can, and upper room youth, you can be dismissed. I didn't forget you. I just wasn't finished yet. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad for the faithfulness of God? Amen. Amen. Thank you for thinking of me on my birthday and this gift, and I appreciate that so very much. I appreciate you every day of the year. It's a privilege to work here in Athens, Texas with all of you, and we're in the will of God here. Amen. And we're seeing great things begin to happen. Praise the Lord. And I'm so thankful for what the Lord's doing. Aren't you? I'm glad to be part of it. I think it's going to get real good before it's all over. Amen. I'm already seeing a new auditorium right over in front of that building right there. Amen. It's got a natural amphitheater down there. I think that's so neat. It'll be like Jesus. For a pulpit, we'll make a boat sit in. And do it Jesus style. Amen. And y'all all stand up while I sit down to teach. No, that probably wouldn't work very good, but I know that wouldn't work good. You may be seated. Amen. God bless you. My daughter has something she wants to say before we get started.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. Brother Bacon a second ago announced that... We're still good. Okay. He announced a second ago that on Friday, Brother Kevin's going to be preaching, and that is partly true. Brother Kevin is going to be preaching for a little while, but then after that, we're all going to interrupt him, all of the youth and anybody else who wants to join us, and we're going to be doing, the youth committee got together, and we want to do something special for Brother and Sister Bacon to honor them. Have you guys noticed how amazing our youth group is?
Yeah.
We have a fantastic youth group. We can give them a hand. They're awesome. Thank you, Jesus. And we're really grateful to Brother and Sister Bacon for all that they do. So we want to just do something small to honor them. And we're trying to see, we're hoping they're not in the building listening in, because we're trying to, and the whole point is we've kept this a surprise, which is why we haven't announced it until now, because we wanted to keep it a surprise so they'll be completely shocked. It's going to be a lot of fun when Brother Kevin's preaching in the middle of his sermon. We're going to interrupt him and start talking about Bacon, and it's going to be a blast. So we're really excited, and it'll kill the surprise value, obviously, if they know ahead of time. So we just want to let you know, everyone is invited, the whole church. If you guys would like to come and help us honor them, we'd appreciate it. And it's going to be at the usual service time at 7 o'clock, and on Friday, 7:30? 7:30. And then what we've asked the youth to do, they're all going to try to bring a package of bacon, and we're going to have a bacon offering. It's going to be very funny. It's a youth thing, so we get a little bit crazy. So if you'd like to bring your own package of bacon to kind of give, that would be awesome. Also, we're going to be having, hopefully, bacon cheeseburgers after the service. So if anybody would like to help us and donate some, obviously bacon we're going to have quite a bit of, hopefully. If anybody like to donate some hamburger meat, that's what's kind of can run up a little bit. That would be great. Or any other foods that you think would be fun that would go with that, chips. You can bring it throughout the week. You can bring it later that day. You can come to service that night and bring it. So anyway, whatever you can do. And it'll be this Friday night. Yes, sir. So. Yeah, any bacon stuff. If you find some crazy bacon product, I know the Scope mouthwash, they came out with a bacon-flavored mouthwash. If you find that, I would love it if you brought it. I haven't seen it, but there's a lot of great stuff. So if you'd like to come and help us out, like I said, this is the youth group and the youth committee wanted to get together to do something, and so I'm the elected volunteer to announce it to everybody. So sorry to interrupt. We wanted to say it when they were out of the building. So thank you. God bless.
Donation. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, let's stand together and go to the word of the Lord, shall we? I think it's great that we're honoring these great people. I will be leaving tomorrow for the district conference. It's a very important conference. We will be electing a new district superintendent. Brother Russo has served 20-plus years in official capacities, and he has decided it's time for him to retire from that office. And so I ask you to be in prayer as we elect a new leader for our district. We have a lot of capable men, and I'm not fearful, but I just want the will of the Lord to be done. So please help us to pray in that regard. So I will not get to be here for this rally, but I would love to be. Revelation. Let's go to the 10th chapter. And let's just read for sake of brevity the 7th verse. But in the days of the voice of the 7th angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. The mystery of God should be finished. And so that's what we're going to talk about a little bit here tonight, is the mystery of God. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. We have come to a parenthetical passage, an interlude, if you will. And that's where we are tonight. We ended our last lesson with the sounding of the 6th trumpet. A mighty army, 200 million people. That's quite an army. That's a massive army. I read that if you had an army of 200 million men, the cavalry would have to be 80, if it was a mile wide, if it stretched out, the head of the thing was 1 mile wide, it would be 87 miles long. That's quite an army. 1 mile by 87, 200 million. There's never been an army like that before. The largest army of the ancient world was Xerxes when he came in battle, and he had 2.5 million men, which was unheard of in that time. But now, with population rapidly approaching 7 billion people, there are possibilities that never existed before. We know that China is capable and has boasted of being able to field an army of 200 million. That's a massive number of people. And that's at least a third of the population, or let me say two-thirds of the population of the United States of America. That's a large army, folks. If you took two of three of all Americans, it would be about a 200 million person army. So it's massive. And when that army assembles and God rains down judgment from heaven, that was a tremendous battle that takes place. And the Bible says that men would not repent even though they see the judgment of God against them. And one-third of the population is decimated. It's an awesome day. And yet, in all of that, and then in the midst of that, John says that everything stops. We've seen this before. And remember the seven seals that were open? Four seals were open, and then it was divided from the next three. And then two more seals were opened, and then there was a pause. There was a break. That was an interlude. And then the seventh seal was open. Same thing with the trumpets. We have four trumpets sounded. And then there was a stop. And it said there's three yet to come. Two more sounded. Five and six. And now we have another interlude. Same thing with when we see the vials poured out. There'll be four vials poured out. And then there'll be an interlude. And then there'll be two more. And then there'll be another interlude. And then the final bowl is poured out. There's a pattern here that God has selected and chosen in His own wisdom and His own knowledge. But in this interlude, John sees some awesome things in heaven. And I'd like to take a moment to introduce some of these things. Look at the 10th chapter, verse 1. He said, "And I saw another mighty angel." Everybody say, "A mighty angel." Now, we don't know his name. Could be Michael, I don't know. But he's a mighty angel. And he comes down from heaven. I say it could be Michael. His name means one like God. So he's mighty. And I want you to see how mighty an angel can be. This is pretty awesome stuff. Let's look at this angel here tonight. First of all, he comes down from heaven. And he's clothed with a cloud. That's a pretty neat garment. And a rainbow was upon his head. You know what a rainbow represents? It represents a promise of God. It seems that even when God is approaching judgment on the earth, he doesn't forget his promise. He doesn't forget what he promised to Noah, that he was not going to destroy the world with water again. And so the angel comes clothed in the promise of God. It said in his face was as it were the sun. In other words, it's brilliant and shining. And it's almost impossible to look upon. And his feet, he said, are as the pillars of fire. When you see that in Scripture, the fire of the feet, it represents that he's coming in judgment. And his feet are as pillars. That means he's very strong. And for most people, you know, I guess our legs are the strongest part of our body. And if you're fit, that's true. And so his feet are like, and his legs are like pillars. And they as fire, speaking of judgment. Verse 2 said, "And he had in his hand a little book open." I want you to notice, we saw that book in chapter 5. When we saw it before, it was in the hand of God and it was sealed. But now seven seals have passed. So now the book is open. And so the book is now in the hand of the angel. We'll see what happens to it in a moment. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. Do you remember told Abraham? He said, everywhere your foot touches, it's going to be your possession. And then he told Jacob the same thing, that where your foot falls will be your possession. And so this speaks then of possession. This is, he's coming back. That book, if you remember, was the book of redemption. It was about redeeming the earth. It was about redeeming mankind. Now the book has fully been opened and redemption has come about. And so he's speaking here of the redemption, and then he speaks of possessing again the earth. I want you to know something. This world was not created for the devil. This world was created for Jesus Christ. The Bible said it was created by him and for him. It was for his pleasure that we were and are created. And so that's the purpose of the earth, as all things in creation, is to bring glory to God. And it certainly isn't doing that right now, is it? There's not a lot of glory for God going on. In the halls of justice and judgment, there's not a lot of righteousness. In the halls of government, there's not a lot of righteousness. In entertainment, there's not much righteousness. There's not a lot of righteousness left in our institutions of learning. I'm telling you, isn't it kind of interesting, though, that Mississippi, I believe, voted prayer back into their schools? I say congratulations to Mississippi. Texas ought to take a lesson. Amen. Let's don't let Mississippi lead. Texas ought to be leading that. Amen. Rhode Island's getting ready to prove gay marriage. Amen. I think Texas ought to be one of the first to say, oh no, y'all do what you want to, but we're staying out of that. Amen. We're going to stick with the tradition of 5,000 years of human history. Amen. It's not that it hasn't been a problem in other cultures, but even as bad as other cultures got, they never approved. And on the same scale with marriage. That's never happened until our day. First time. So that just lets me know that something's going on in the world. Hallelujah. So right now, I just want you to know, God's not getting a lot of glory. Amen. But that's getting ready to change. Hallelujah. I said, that's getting ready to change. That's what it's all about. That book in the hands of the angel, and he comes and he sets his right foot on the sea, and he puts his left foot on the earth, and he says, things are getting ready to change. We're coming. There's going to be a change in ownership around here. Amen. There's going to be a change in the way business is done. Amen. And so we see this mighty, mighty angel with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now these are not just thunders. Look at verse 4. It said, when the, now I want you to notice that definite article there. In the Greek it's ho. It says, and when the seven thunders, very specific, that the word the designates that these are set apart. These are designated thunders. These are special. And it says these seven thunders had uttered their voices. I was about to write. So these, whatever they were, thundering voices, if you will, said something. It wasn't just noise. There was a message in it. And John said, I was about to write it. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. So the Lord said, you take what you wrote, John, and you seal it up. And he did. So I don't know what they said. I don't know why he put that in there if I can't know what they said. But I don't know. And neither do you. Because he said, we'll keep that for another time, I guess. And so that's another mystery. Perhaps sometime in eternity future, we'll find out what the thunder said. But for right now, we don't know. It's not apparently not for us to know. You know, there's a lot of things we don't know yet. Have you noticed that? Chuck Swindoll had an excellent answer. Somebody asked him something one time. He didn't know, and he said, I'm fresh out of omniscience. I thought that was a pretty good answer, so I stole that. And I've used that a few times. I'm fresh out of omniscience. I don't know. So there are some things that we just don't know. Amen. And so John sealed these things up. He said, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be no, that there should be time no longer. Now, God does not dwell in time. This is a concept that's very hard for me to grasp. But God is not affected. God doesn't live in time at all. God created time, and he exists outside of time. God exists in eternity. He never has been bound by time. Now, time is for us. We're the ones that have time. And we're affected by it. And but God is not affected by time. He created time for humankind. He made it for us. And he numbered days. And he started that. He gave us the stars and the sun and the moon and the heavenly bodies mark time. And that's all for God. And there's going to be a time when there's not going to be any more time. You talk about running out of time, when we're just about there. We talk about, well, I don't have time. Well, there's going to be a day you won't. There's not going to be any more. Time shall be no more. The concept of time is going to be done away with. Now, I don't understand that. I can tell you about it. I can speculate about it. But it blows my mind when I try to really grasp it. But that's going to happen. The angel said that there will be this event when time shall be no more. Jesus talked about that. In the coming of the day of the Lord. Matthew 24:36, he said, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Only God knows when that's going to happen. Only God knows that. In Luke 19:11, people thought they knew. But as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, saying he was nigh unto Jerusalem, and because they had thought the kingdom of God should appear immediately. Now, the kingdom of God that they were looking for is different than the kingdom of God that came. They were looking for the time when God would set himself up on the earth as a ruler. That's going to happen. I said that is going to happen. But not now. The kingdom of God that we live in right now, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." He said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so this, we live in the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual realm. But there is coming a kingdom of God when he literally will reign on the earth. But the time is not yet. Peter mentioned it like this, and we've heard this ourselves. 2 Peter 3:3-4, he said, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Amen. And so that's we see that, don't we? But there's a kingdom that's coming. Amen. And time shall be no more. And so that's what's coming. And then go on to the next verse. He said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Now he's speaking future here. The seventh angel has not yet sounded. That's going to happen in chapter 11. We'll get to that, Lord willing, maybe next week. But the seventh angel has not yet sounded. And he said, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. What is the mystery of God? Well, the mystery of God is his kingdom come. Jesus made a prophecy, or God made a prophecy in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned, and he spoke of it. He talked about the seed of the woman. He said, "And the seed of the woman shall bruise your head. The heel of the seed of the woman shall bruise your head. You'll bruise his heel." Now, I'd a whole lot rather be having my heel bruised than my head bruised. Because whoever's stepping on your head, you may be bruising his heel, but he's crushing your head. In other words, he has authority. He rules and reigns over you. So from the very end of sin in the world, God said that there would be a Redeemer. And the Bible said when Cain was born, Eve said, "I have begotten a man child from the Lord." In other words, she was saying, "Is this him?" Wrong. Very wrong. That was the first murderer. Certainly not the Messiah. But she didn't know. You see, the hope was there. God, are you going to redeem us now? So the hope was there. When John the Baptist came, he came preaching Jesus Christ, didn't he? Amen. He came preaching the kingdom of God. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. He said, his fan is in his hand. Amen. He talked about the vengeance and the judgment of God. But it didn't happen in those days. The disciples looked for Jesus to establish his kingdom. The people did. Remember on what we call the triumphal entry when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of that donkey and people put their garments in the street and were waving palm fronds and saying, Hosanna in the highest is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They were saying, is it now? Have you come to restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus said, no, not yet. Mystery of God. It's time, folks. 5,000 years have passed. How much blood of the righteous has been shed in that 5,000 years? How many hopes have been dashed in that 5,000 years? How many righteous lives have been snuffed out by the unrighteous in those 5,000 years? You see, God doesn't see as we see. God doesn't think like we think. We see life differently than God sees life. I suppose that's why the Bible said that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We see death as a great victor. God sees it. I like, what was it, to Kevin Miller, I believe. No, it is Miller. but he wrote a poem about death that I thought was very interesting. He said that he saw a grave as simply a doorway to God cut in the sod. Isn't that neat? Anyway, we see that as a final resting place. But from now on, when you see the grave of a righteous person, don't think of a final place. Think of that as a door that man has cut, that God's going to make a way for him into heaven. You see, God doesn't see it the same way we do. We see the underside. Have you ever seen the backside of a tapestry? It's not pretty, is it? All you see is a bunch of mingled colors and it's a mess. But when you see the right side of it, it's a thing of beauty. God sees the other side of this thing. He sees the finished product. All we can just see as this intermingling of meaningless colors. But God on the other side sees a masterpiece and something that is beautiful and finished. And so that's the mystery of God. We do not see it like he sees it. But I'm telling you what, you can learn a lot in prayer and listening to God and not people. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes our own traditions and our own thoughts and I don't mean any disrespect at all, but sometimes, you know, we gotta believe God rather than man. People are well-meaning, but they're very, very limited in their knowledge. All of us are. And so if we can listen to the Lord, he can help us a lot, changing some of the ways we think about things. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, we got all these neat little sayings, don't we? I don't get mad. I get even. Nah. Amen. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. So he taught us forgiveness, didn't he? Amen. So it's a different realm if we can learn to receive. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. If we'll listen to that, we can think like him. And so the mystery of God is different than men. Different than men. So people are saying since our fathers fell asleep, everything just continues like always. Brother Wesley, I've heard this my whole life. The Lord's coming. Well, when's he coming? I don't know, but he's coming. Amen. Praise the Lord. I got the Holy Ghost in 1967, in June the 19th, and I was scared to death that I wasn't going to make it. Because that was the Six-Day War. Anybody remember the Six-Day War? In June of 1967, there was a war that took place. The Arabs went against the Jews and said, we're going to drive them in the ocean. And man, they expanded their boundaries like never before. Amen. They drove them. They gained the Golan Heights and they gained down in the southern portion, and they pushed back their boundaries every direction, and they drove them out of Jerusalem. And I remember, I can hear it now. Amen. Brother John Kershaw, the Arab, preaching. And he'd say, whenever the Jews take over Jerusalem, and he said, and when they touch that wailing wall, you get ready, the Lord's coming back. Well, he didn't. And I'm so glad, because I would have missed it if he had. Just by a few days, but I would have missed it. Hey, he had good intentions, and later on he changed his message. He had to. Amen. And so we don't know when he's coming, but we know he's coming. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. I heard a guy one time had a dollar. He said, God, I'm going to put this dollar in the offering. And he said, and if a day is with you as 1,000 years, he said, I want this $1 to be $1,000 to you and cause it to abound back to me. Amen. So he put that dollar in, and the Lord said, okay. He said, wait just a day. Just wait just a day. It didn't make any difference to God. But that 1,000 years made a difference to the man. Amen. And so he said the time is not the same with God. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So what he's saying is, God didn't forget about his promise. He's just waiting on some hard-headed, hard-hearted human beings to get their heart right, because he wants to save them. That's the reason for the delay. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? Good question. And all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming unto the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. We'll talk about that later. Amen. But remember, last week we talked about the day of the Lord, or the day of God. That's what we're talking about here. And that's what we're going to see when we get to this seventh trumpet. At the sounding of that trumpet, we're going to see the beginning of the day of the Lord. It's going to be something awesome and incredible and amazing when the day of the Lord finally comes. Anyway, and so the Lord, you see His mercy here, right? And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me and said, go and take the little book. See that little book again? Which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea, upon the earth. And I went to the angel and I said to him, give me the little book. Now that would take some Holy Ghost to walk up to somebody like that and say, hey, give me the book. A lot of faith. And he said unto me, take it. Yeah, right. You just give it to me, we'll be better off. I ain't taking nothing from you. Take it and eat it up. Does that sound familiar? Anybody ever been to Brandon, what is that in, what's that little town? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, Cherie. Not in Branson. There's one in Branson, but Sykeston, Missouri. Yeah. You ever been to Lambert's Cafe? Home of the Thode Roll. Anybody ever been to Lambert's? All right, I knew we had some Lambert folks here. I love to go to Lambert's. Every time we go to Indiana, we try to time it so we can eat at Lambert's. Lambert's is big. Huge. They got three dining rooms that are as big as, not well, these walls knocked out, as big as this whole thing, and they got three of them side by side. And they roll in there with a cart full of hot rolls. Good rolls. And he comes in and he says, "Hot rolls!" And man, he and you raise your hand if you want one, and he throws it to you, no matter where you are. Brother Kerry, he'd throw you one. He'll rear back with that roll and he'll throw that thing. And I've caught them before, and then when you catch them, they just explode in your hand because he's throwing them so hard and you're so far away. Amen. And a few of them have hit somebody else on the way to us. But it's real interesting. If you ever get to go to Lambert's, you want to go. Now, don't you want to go to Lambert's? It's an experience going to Lambert's. But here's the point, the reason I said all that. When you go in, there's a sign from the book of Ezekiel. It says, "Behold, I saw a flying roll." And it's in there. It's in the Bible. The flying roll. I saw a flying roll. And the Lord said, "Take and eat the roll." Of course, he's talking about a scroll, not a roll. But it does say that. It says roll. And so three times, actually, the Lord told Isaiah to eat the word. He told Ezekiel to eat the word. And he told John the same thing. So this is the third time that we see this incident happen. And so he takes it, and the angel, listen, he says, "Take and eat." Now listen closely. "And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey." And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, "Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." Now what was that? That little book. Amen. It's a book of prophecy that we're reading right now. Now this book is sweet. There's a lot of sweetness in Revelation. But there's a lot of bitterness in Revelation. It's a scary book. I said, it's a terrifying book. It's a book about the redemption of the church, but it's also a book about the judgment of God. It's a book about the reconciliation of Israel, but it's also a book about recompense to sinners. There's sweetness, but at the same time, It's a horrifying book. It's a frightening book because of so many of the things that are there. And so he said, you gotta tell people about this. I'm so glad John wrote it down, aren't you? And here we are, 2,000 years later, and we're still talking about this book. Amen. I think that it's important that we talk about this book. I know that it's not easy to understand. I know that some of it's speculation. Amen. But we're living in a day where what we're mostly hearing is God loves you. Amen. And Jesus loves you. And guess what? God loves you. And Jesus loves you. And he wants you to do good and you don't have to feel bad. Amen. Don't feel bad about anything. Just feel good. Don't worry. Be happy. That's all you got to do. Just go through life. That's it. Just be happy. Amen. Well, that's not true, is it? Amen. There's a judgment coming in the world. We need to hear God loves us, and yes, he does. We need to hear about the love of Jesus Christ, and yes, we will. But we also need to balance that with the judgment of God. And that God will judge sin. So there has to be a balance here that is oftentimes missing. And so John came and he shared with us this great prophecy that was given. Amen. And now I'm in a bind, because if I get into the next thing, it's going to take me a while, and I've already used up a while. Let's stand together. Amen. I'm ready to go into this 11, but I better not right now, because it's going to take a while. And so for the sake of honoring your work schedule tomorrow, I'm gonna stop here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't that nice? Isn't that kind? Amen. Praise the Lord. See, if all the young people here, they'd be saying, "Preach, brother, preach, preach, preach." But they're not here. So I'm going to be wise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And so thank God for His Word, and that judgment is coming on the earth, but there's a redemption. Amen. I'm glad I can see these things in the Scripture. When I read this about this angel, it gives me comfort. Amen. You know, sometimes people talk about the devil like he's some big old thing. Amen. Well, he's not anything like this. The Bible says that when we see Satan, we're going to be amazed at how small he really is. How much he's diminished. The mighty have fallen so greatly. At one time, he was an angel like this. He was awesome. But sin robbed him of all of that. And all he has left is influence. Influence. He doesn't have power. He has influence. And I'm going to tell you tonight how much power the devil has over you. The devil has the power to plant a thought in your head. And that's all the power he has. We call those, the Bible calls them fiery darts or doubts. And that's all he can do, is put a doubt in your head. And then it's up to you what you do with it. It's what brought Eve down and Adam. And it's destroyed a lot of people after that. Amen. But thank God he's mighty. Amen. We can control that, can't we? Amen. We have the mind of Christ. Praise the Lord. Jesus, thank you tonight that you're mighty and that you have mighty